Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back at Ripley Castle, home to the Ingleby family for the last 700 years, more than long enough to establish squatters' rights. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything. Last time we heard about a whole host of Inglebys.
William, John and Henry. Sir William Amcott Ingleby. Francis, his brother David. Sir Thomas Ingleby.
And speaking of Sir Thomas, we are in the very privileged position of actually being able to talk to a live, living Ingleby. I have Sir Thomas Ingleby, the 6th Baronet, right here in front of me. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. While I'm alive, for however long that is.
Well, if you could make it to the next hour or two, that'd be really good for the podcast.
I'll try and make it through the interview.
Thank you.
We could have a dramatic ending.
That would be a hell of a podcast.
It would.
Thank you for coming to allowing us into this castle. Am I right? You've actually just moved out of the castle to a private property elsewhere in Ripley.
Yes, we've moved all of 100 yards.
A big move.
We went big move, but it still requires a lot of planning and hauling of stuff upstairs and downstairs, and it was utterly tiring, and I don't ever want to do it again.
Were there certain parts or ornaments or pieces in this castle that you were determined to take with you, or did you leave most of the good stuff here?
We've left all of the good stuff here.
Yeah?
Yes.
Not even just a really fancy doorstop?
No, not even that. No, it wouldn't be fair to strip the castle bare.
Because you've left it to your son and his wife and 2 daughters.
Yes.
And how are they finding it? Because I imagine running a castle is actually trickier than it seems. Oh, actually, I say that, it seems quite tricky. So.
It is.
How's it been living here over the years?
I think it's been interesting. I mean, it's been a challenge. And the main thing is that nothing goes as planned. You accept that. You have your plans for the day when you set off. Mm-hmm. By the end of the evening, you haven't achieved anything off your list of things to do, but you've dealt with a whole lot of other things. And the one thing we have learnt is never to lift a floorboard.
Is that because you just find stuff under the floor?
You find stuff under the floor, which frequently take 4 months to sort out and cost you tens of thousands of pounds.
Right, so expensive floorboards if you lift them up.
Expensive floorboards.
Have you ever found anything sort of a human skull or anything like that under the floorboards?
No, we haven't, thankfully.
Sure. But
yes, we were worried about when we discovered the priest's secret hiding place.
that there might be a priest still in there.
We were concerned the priest was probably still in there, but thankfully he wasn't.
I mean, as far as living in the castle, you were saying just before we started recording that you're enjoying the privacy of your own place now, because having had a small amount of experience with my 6 years in the Tower of London, living amongst tourists every day, there isn't such a thing as privacy. It's you are constantly bumping into them in different places. They're constantly walking into rooms they're not meant to. It must have been a nightmare over the years.
It is, because there's no form of escape from this castle without crossing a public route. Mm. And the other thing it involves is climbing a lot of steps.
Yeah.
That's the other thing we won't miss. But even the humble things in life, like coming back from the local supermarket laden with shopping, because we've got five children.
Yeah.
And you get halfway across the corridor and the party would emerge through the door at the other end, and the guide would say, "Oh, good morning, Sir Thomas." Yeah. And immediately 30 pairs of eyes turn round, and there's this bedraggled figure carrying about five shopping bags,
all so this
staggering under the weight.
So it takes away the majesty of the whole thing.
Yes, you
it?
Can tell it wasn't quite the figure they were expecting to see.
At what point in growing up here did you start to realise, oh, I live in a special place?
Yeah, I suppose not really until my teens. I suppose there are scales of houses leading up to a castle, and you went to some fairly big houses, fairly modest houses, but you didn't realise how very special this was until you began to learn about the history. Mm. Teachers would teach you about something, and you think, gosh, our family was involved in that.
Yeah, you're sat in history class and suddenly going, hang on a second, I think that happened in my garden.
Yeah, or important books that were milestones in literature. And you think, oh, I'm sure I've seen that on the library shelf.
A huge part of the history, Sir Thomas mentioned, is the English Civil War. In particular, the Battle of Marsden Moor. And it's the backdrop for one of the most incredible stories Ripley has to offer. It's the middle of the 1600s, and Oliver Cromwell's Roundheads are fighting King Charles I's Cavaliers. It's all part of a dispute between the Crown and Parliament about how England, Scotland and Ireland should be governed. Trooper Jane was the sister of Sir William Ingleby, and they lived at Ripley Castle in Yorkshire. Together, they supported King Charles I. In 1644, the fighting came close to Ripley at the famous Battle of Marsden Moor. Jane dressed in full armour and rode into battle next to her brother, Sir William Ingleby, in what would be the largest battle there's ever been fought on English soil. The Royalists were badly defeated and lost around 4,000 soldiers during a two-hour battle. Another 1,500 were taken prisoner by Cromwell and his Roundheads. After the Battle of Marsden Moor, Trooper Jane Ingleby and her brother rushed back to the castle at Ripley. And not a moment too soon, Oliver Cromwell and his troops arrived and demanded they look after them for the night.
The Civil War has often been described as the revolution that England never had, and probably saved us from having a revolution like the French had. And it was a matter of democracy that the king in those days, or the monarch of those days, firmly believed that he was selected by God. Mm-hmm. He was king by God. And he could therefore do what he wanted and raise taxes without having to be answerable. So not everyone agreed with him, and particularly those who had a narrower vision of God, and they wanted democracy. Mm-hmm. So it did culminate in war. Mm-hmm. The king wasn't prepared to step down. He wasn't prepared to give way in any way at all. Mm. So the Battle of Marsden Moor was really the turning point of the war, because other battles had been fought, were won by either side, but not conclusively in terms of the war. Marsden Moor was the first battle that destroyed the king's army in the north of England forever. They never recovered from it. So it was all downhill, basically, from there.
It's at this crucial turning point of the English Civil War that my favourite Ingleby, sorry, Sir Thomas, enters the story.
Trooper Jane was the youngest of seven children, most of the children being boys, and therefore she developed fairly good defensive mechanisms, very sharp elbows, I suspect.
You've got to if you've got a bunch of brothers.
Yes, our daughter feels the same, being the only one out of five. And she came to prominence really during the Civil War. And when her brother William raised a troop of horse from Ripley to try and raise the siege of York, they joined Prince Rupert's army of cavalry. And it culminated in the Battle of Marsden Moor on the 2nd of July, 1644. And Trooper Jane, there were quite a few women on the battlefield, but she was one of the few who was there for her own volition. Quite often, because the soldiers were paid, their wives, if the soldier was killed, then she obviously lost her income. So the obvious thing was for her to fight as well or take some active part. And Trooper Jane was obviously quite a character because she trained like a soldier. So she was, you know, a professional of her period. And she was then aged 43 when Master Moore was fought. So she was no spring chicken. The battle went both ways. It was a game of two halves. There'd been a ferocious thunderstorm that afternoon, and Cromwell, realising that the king was expecting more Scottish troops to reinforce his army, he was about 5,000 short of men compared to the Cromwellian army, launched a surprise attack with his cavalry. And Prince Rupert was actually having dinner about a mile and a half off the battlefield when this happened. So he had to saddle up very quickly. But the Royalist cavalry were very good, and they not only counterattacked, but they drove the Cromwellian cavalry off the battlefield. Now, the battle would have had a very different outcome if the red mist hadn't descended. And the Royalist troopers had the Cromwellians on the run, and they weren't going to let them off. And they chased them not just off the battlefield, but halfway into Lancashire, whereupon Cromwell's infantry got together and fell on the king's infantry, who were now undefended by horsemen, and made very short work of them. But Trooper Jane and her brother William survived. They managed to get back to Ripley. And you can imagine the total horror when who should turn up at the front door a couple of hours later but the victorious rebel general, as he was called, Oliver Cromwell himself.
Yeah, was that a frosty reception?
It was a very frosty reception indeed. Sir William knew what would happen to him if he got caught, so he disappeared up into the priest's secret hiding place.
Ah, priest hole. We love a good priest hole on this podcast.
Which had been made for Francis Ingleby a few years earlier, and literally disappeared, leaving Cromwell to be sorted out by his sister Jane.
So at this, my name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At this point, Jane is left to face Cromwell, while her brother William escapes upstairs into a priest hole. And if whoever came looking for him was anything like me, he would have been pretty safe. I don't know if you remember our Harvington Hall episode, but a priest hunter, I am not.
There is something in this room. There's a secret hiding place.
It's, have I got to guess where...
You've got to guess where it is.
So that's the tiny oven.
That's a bread oven, yeah.
Don't go in the oven. So I'm going to guess it's near a fireplace. Is
Correct.
That right?
So it's a standard, basic priest hide, yeah.
So I am going to say that not that one. I feel like your eyes are going over here. Is it... Ooh. Can I get inside this fireplace?
You can get inside the fireplace if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I just like poke around and see where...
Well, I'll
Oh, there.
No, I mean, that's a bit obvious because they look like cupboards.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
The space is very close by.
I'm glad you told me that. I'd have been here for 3 hours in this fireplace looking for... Is it below the fireplace?
No.
To the left?
To the right?
To the right. I was going to keep naming directions. So I don't think I'd be able to be a very good priest hunter.
And my priest hunting skills haven't improved since. William's hiding place at Ripley was no easier to find.
As usual, I've entered a room and I've got to guess where the priest hole is. They're normally by the fireplace. I'm going to guess maybe that one over there. How? No? This one?
No.
There's two fireplaces in this room, so and I've picked both of them and neither are correct.
Yeah. No, it's elsewhere.
Right, okay. Oh! Is that right?
You are right.
I just accidentally put my hand against the wall and I've found the priest hole. Oh, I can see it.
Yes, we can.
Hang on, let you. That is a very, very tiny priest hole. And a little ledge to sit down on as well. That's nice. You don't often get them.
No. And then between the doors, we've got some old cloth. And this is the cloth that was put there originally so that you could shine a candle inside the priest hole and the light wouldn't escape through the gaps in the panelling and give his position away.
Ah.
Small, cramped and uncomfortable, but a lot better than the fate that awaited you if you got caught.
And in case you're wondering what fate awaited William if he got caught, here's a quick story of Margaret Clitheroe, martyr of the Catholic Church, a known harbourer of priests.
Yes, she was known as the Rose of York. She was very, very strongly Catholic, married to a butcher who, many husbands will feel sympathy with this, just wanted to get on with trade and lead a straightforward life.
Yeah.
Sadly, he married this very strong character. And she was warned that she was about to be caught. She paid no attention to it. She said no. She was absolutely steadfast in her aim. And she was eventually betrayed. And she was pressed to death at York Tolbooth, which meant that she was placed between two doors. And then massive boulders and rocks were placed on top of the upper door until... all the ribs broke.
Even for the time, that broke. Yeah, even for the time, that sounds quite.
It was very
rudimentary.
It was very extreme because they were also stripped naked at the time, and it was barbaric.
Yeah,
utterly barbaric.
Was that just the official punishment, or do they sort of catch them and go, right, what are we going to do with them and just make it up?
No, it wasn't official punishment.
So pressing was. Oh, if you do this, you get pressed. If you do that, you get hung. If you do that, you get.
Yeah,
headshot.
And I think it was very much optional on the part of the man who decided the sentence.
Do they just have two doors hanging around for that purpose, or do they have to unhinge two doors just nearby? Some bloke going, well, that's my house door. Can I have it back? He gets it back and there's just makeup smudged all over them.
Quite possibly. I suspect there were old storerooms full of doors ready for this very purpose. Ready for a pressing engagement.
So pretty safe to say that if William had been caught, it wouldn't have ended well. But let's get back to Trooper Jane.
So Cromwell has arrived at the castle.
Trooper Jane went out to meet him at the castle gatehouse with two pistols in her hands and at first vowed to defend the castle against him and all comers, basically. And one of his generals, General Sir William Waller, was a relation of the Inglebys. he interceded and arranged a temporary truce, mm-hmm. Which allowed Cromwell to spend the night by the fireside in the castle library.
So temporary is in just one evening?
One night only.
One night only.
And you know the feeling.
I've made a truce with many old women for one night only.
Yes.
I shouldn't be admitting that at all. But,
and so this remarkable pair sat there. The victorious general who just changed the course of the Civil War, and this redoubtable woman who was determined to prevent him or his troops from searching the castle for her brother who was concealed upstairs.
Yeah.
Also to protect her virtue, although if she was half as ugly as her brother, she had no problems on that front. Cromwell was left in a bit of a difficult situation because his troops were billeted in the village and had shot several royalist prisoners against the castle wall and also against the east gable wall of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in no mood for messing about, and he could hardly go outside next morning and say, "You'll never guess what happened to me last night." And she got it away. She got away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And she was asked, "Would you have shot him?" And she said, "Well, I'm not used to pistols. I'm more used to killing him with swords. But yes, he wouldn't have got away."
Yeah. What must they have talked about? Just sort of sat, because they were just sat there chair to chair.
Yeah.
She's got these two pistols. He's snoozing, I imagine, or trying to. Small talk is hard at the best of, of times.
Very difficult. And particularly if you can imagine, yeah, the troopers from the village probably left in the early morning. They were scattered all over the countryside. Most of the north of England still thought that the king's army had won the battle because all these riders came back saying, "We sorted the Cromwell's cavalry."
Oh, because they'd just seen them fly off. So,
For about, took 3 days for the news to get around that actually the battle had gone totally the other way. And that awful expectation in the hours that followed, you know, are the boys coming back or have they fallen on the battlefield? And then suddenly for the enemy general to turn up here and, you know, his men start shooting prisoners and, you know, take over the church and all the houses. Leaving the next morning, they must have run the full gamut of fear during that 24 hours.
And, of course, the room that they sat in is just across from us, across the hall, which is now is the library.
Yes.
Another roaring fire as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's still almost exactly as they left it. So, the great thing about castles, it's not just the building, the architecture, but also in this case, the history actually took place on the spot where the visitors are standing. And if these walls could talk, it would be riveting.
Well, I imagine that you've probably sat in that room yourself with your wife, even, I imagine, just chair to chair in the same positions as they would have been.
Yes.
That's incredible, isn't it? Just to think of the...
She with her two pistols on her lap. Defending her virtue. She's very virtuous, my wife.
I would never doubt that.
Yeah, notwithstanding the 5 children.
Yeah, sure.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, "Oh, what's your best way of making money?" I'm like, "Oh, we should start some sort of scheme."
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Trooper Jane and Oliver Cromwell have been sat there all evening. Minimal amounts of conversation. Tensions are high. In the morning, how does it get left? What actually then happens to Trooper Jane and her brother in the pre-cell?
Her brother wasn't discovered, so he emerged. He was fined for being a delinquent, which was a legal term in those days, not just what you were called by your teacher in class.
yeah, I've been called that a few times.
And he was fined £700 a year, which was an absolute king's ransom in those days. Mm-hmm. And it completely destroyed him mentally. He pretty well fell apart. And he died a broken man as a result of it. Trooper Jane, the only other trace we can find of her in history in those days was in the wages books, where she's recorded as being paid a small wage to churn the butter at the home farm. So she was obviously a lady with a very strong right arm.
Yeah, I can imagine. On the morning that Cromwell left Ripley, Trooper Jane Ingleby said, "It was well he had behaved in so peaceful a manner, for that, had it been otherwise, he would not have left this house with his life." She and her brother are buried in the crypt beneath Ripley Church. When Jane was asked, "Why two pistols?" she replied, "I might have missed with the first."
We could have a dramatic ending. Oh my God, I've killed him.
I'm not sure that is our man behind us. I think that might be a man. Oh, I mean, I don't want to judge, but I doubt it. He looks like a... I think he's just a tourist. This whole castle's made of cardboard. Just push it down. It's just a film set. We are early, apparently. University, but I can't... Oh, hang on. This looks like more like a lord. Oh. But I'm not sure. It might just be a man with a briefcase. He looks very stately there.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, not at all. How are you?
At least it's not freezing cold.
No, it's absolutely fine. Oh, God.
Well, that's easy,
yes,
to
remember. Very anyway, easy, yeah.
Yeah, the two Toms.
Yeah, it's a sitcom already.
Thomas, lovely to meet you in person.
Hi there.
Thank you very much for having us.
Right, no, that's all right. It's always fun doing these.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, I'm glad that's a positive attitude to start.
Makes me pay attention to my history.
It makes me learn mine as well, so it's going to be great.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. Are we able to go into the...
Yeah, we are indeed. Come along in.
And he's gone. He's left us, and then he's gone into a different entrance, and we're going into an entrance around the side. He's in Isaiah. He's got a lordy vibe. Exactly what we expected. The doorbell reads Sir Thomas and Lady Ingleby. And we're not actually inside yet, but already there is a umbrella stand and coat rack made of deer antlers. I can see two stags' head on the wall, and a very lush rouge carpet. This is absolutely where a lord lives. Category of various things, baron, viscount, all sorts.
There we go.
Hello.
That's better.
This is amazing. I'm taken aback by your antler umbrella stand already.
Isn't it wonderful? It's absolutely amazing. Probably attracts more attention than almost anything else.
Well, you're coming to a castle and meeting a lord. You want an umbrella rack.
Something like that.
Are these all from antlers from deer on the premises?
No, they're not. No, I think they're from Norway.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, it's travel out there quite a lot, and you could fit these things on boats. You can't... be a bit difficult putting that on our craft.
Getting that through customs now would be a few questions asked if you had padded down. Thanks for listening to Bad Manners. If you like the pod, please share it with your friends. Rate it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review and make sure you spill the tea on any of your favourite Bad Manners that we could feature in future episodes. This podcast was produced by Atomize Studios for iHeartRadio. It was hosted by me, Tom Horton. It was produced by Willa Malensky, Rebecca Rappaport, and Chris Attaway. It was executive produced by Faye Stewart and Zad Rogers. Our production manager is Caitlin Paramore, and our production coordinator is Bella Cellini.
Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.